This week's Parsha Va'era, of course, has the first seven of the 10 plagues in it. And after each of the plagues, Paro gets frustrated by the situation and asks Moshe Rabbeinu to go and daven on his behalf. And we find that Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Paro that the plagues should come to an end. And after the plague of Tzfardea, of frogs, the Pasuk tells us, in Perek Chet, Pasuk Chet, Vaitzak Moshe Adonai al Dvar HaTzfardeim, that Moshe Rabbeinu cried out to Hashem about the frogs. And there's a very interesting comment of the Siftei Chachamim, one of the super commentaries on Rashi, who says that everywhere else, each other time that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says Vayetar, that he entreated Hashem. Different lashon of tefillah. Why in this case does it say Vayitzak, that he cried out to Hashem? So a number of Mepharshim simply say that, you know, Vatsaaka is a form of tefillah. They're just different forms of tefillah. But the answer of the Siftei Chachamim is that there's a halacha that you have to, when you daven, you have to, your tefillah has to be audible. And with the frogs, there are all the frogs croaking in the background. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to hear his tefillah unless he cried out aloud so that he would be able to hear the words that he was saying. So this is the point that I want to examine a little bit. And indeed, the Rambam in Perek Hay of Hilchot Tefillah Halacha Tet says that what's the din of Hashvayat HaKol? How should one moderate one's voice in tefillah? So one shouldn't daven in a loud voice. Likewise, one shouldn't daven silently, but rather mechate chadvarim bisfatav. You have to enunciate the words with your lips and make it loud enough that you'll be able to, it'll be audible to your ears. So that's the way that the Rambam paskens. The Tor in Simon Kuf Aleph actually brings this point down as a machloket between the Tosefta and the Sugyas in the Bavli and Yerushalmi. According to the Tosefta, one shouldn't, one's tefillah shouldn't be audible based on the tefillah of Chana, where we're told that Rak Sfateha Na'ot V'Kololo Yishama, that only her lips moved, but her voice couldn't actually be heard. Whereas the Sugyas in the Gemara indicate that one should make one's voice audible. The Yerushalmi says that Hamitpalev lo hishmia lo oznav yatsa, that a person who davens and doesn't make his tefillah audible, then they're yotze. The implication being that if it's not if a person who davens doesn't make it audible, that they're yotze, but implying that lechatchila it should be audible. So even though the Tor presents this as a machloket between the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi, the Netziv in Hamek Sheila, he resolves it and says, actually, they're not arguing. They're talking about different situations. In a case where it's quiet, so then your voice needs to be loud enough that you can hear it. But in a noisy environment, it doesn't need to be loud enough that you can hear it. It just needs to be loud enough that in a normal environment, you would be able to hear it. So therefore, the pasuk which is talking about Chana, that took place in the Azara. The Azara was a noisy environment. There was lots going on there. And therefore, Eli HaKohen couldn't hear what she was saying. It was Rak Sfatah Na'ot. Only her lips were moving, but she couldn't hear what she was saying. However, if it had been in a quiet environment, he would have been able to hear what she was saying. The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Kuf Aleph Sif Bet discusses this halacha and tells us a number of important details. The first is that a person should be mashmia la'oznav ve'eino mashmia kolo. So you should daven loud enough that you can hear it, but eino mashmia kolo, not loud that other people are going to hear it. So your tefillah shouldn't be overheard by anybody else. But the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that if you can't focus and concentrate properly, if you're davening really quietly, then you are allowed to daven out loud. However, that's only if you're davening privately, if you're at home davening. But if you're davening in shul, then you can't daven out loud because it's going to disturb the kavanah of others. However, the Rama adds that at home, you're allowed to daven out loud, even if it's you're able to daven with kavanah quietly. But But if you're davening out loud in order that your children should learn from you how to daven properly, to say the words correctly, to pray, say them slowly, to say them with concentration, so even though it's not to improve your kavana, but because it's for an important educational purpose, one's allowed to daven out loud. Very interestingly, there's a machloket between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan about the parameters of this whole halacha. According to the Mishnah Berurah, this applies to all tefillah. He says it applies even to Pesukei Tzimra. Even Pesukei Tzimra, one should say in what many of the Anglo-Jewish Siddurim call an undertone. Whereas the Aruch HaShulchan says that actually it's only talking about the Amidah, and that would seem to be the case from the Rambam and the placing of this halakha in the Shulchan Aruch. They're both talking about it in the context of the Amidah, and I think the Minhag HaOlam, certainly in Hamish places, seems to be that the rest of the tefillah people say out loud, even though their neighbours can hear it, and it's only the Amidah that we're careful to say in that undertone. Ad kan, Shabbat Shalom.